Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Stay just with the music here on News Radio, and yet when John chooses to play one of the all-time greatest songs ever made by the world of music, you kind of have to let it go. I mean, you can't wait until you get to that part, right?
Right.
I mean, it's wrong. It's wrong to interrupt. And it would also have been super wrong to have interrupted with, I don't know, Marco Rubio.
We were unified not just by what we were fighting against. We were unified by what we were fighting for. And together, Europe and America prevailed. And a continent was rebuilt. Our people prospered. In time, the East and West blocks were reunited. A civilization was once again made whole. That infamous wall that had cleaved this nation into two came down, and with it, an evil empire. And the East and West became one again.
No, this is not brand new. This not happened over the weekend. This was actually, let's see, I got to do the math here on this. This is about 9 days ago. It was Friday, Valentine's Day, when he was speaking at the Munich Security Conference. And the reason I'm leading with this, and we'll be playing quite a bit of this today at the beginning of both next hours at least, is because I think this is one of the best speeches, political speeches maybe, certainly that Rubio has ever given, maybe that anybody has ever given. And I know that's a pretty high bar, but because we live in a world where China is rising, Russia is thrashing, and Europe is trying to figure out what its future is, America in a lot of ways is trying to figure out what our future is, and talking about what Marco Rubio did in Europe for the connections between the United States and Europe and the future of the world and the picture of the world, I can't oversay. I mean, it was a great speech, but it was a meaningful speech also in terms of what he was trying to accomplish. And, of course, you know, part of telling the future is telling the past, and telling the past about how, you know, you've had war on the continent twice now, world war on the continent. And, you know, now finally, after the fall of the Soviet Union and the tearing down of the Berlin Wall and the reunification of Germany and, you know, the civilization in Germany that was once divided and has now been made whole again. And what happened after that, and if you're not old enough to remember, or if you didn't pay attention, or, you know, whatever, there was a theory at the time. Francis Fukuyama wrote this very famous piece about the end of history, and the theory was that we finally vanquished not just this enemy, communism, a little premature in the declaration of victory, but, all, but, you know, happens. And, you know, not just communism, but, like, all war will go away. We, you know, people will be better. They'll realize Western civilization works. It's the best. It's prosperity creating. You know, we're going to have equal rights and an usher in a whole new golden age where, I mean, nobody's going to do anything stupid like terrorism, obviously. And, you know, obviously, you know, Russia's been defeated as the Soviet Union, so they're not coming back. And China knows its place. And, you know, okay.
But the euphoria of this triumph led us to a dangerous delusion. That we had entered, quote, the end of history, that every nation would now be a liberal democracy, that the ties formed by trade and by commerce alone would now replace nationhood, that the rules-based global order, an overused term, would now replace the national interest, and that we would now live in a world without borders where everyone became a citizen of the world. This was a foolish idea that ignored both human nature and it ignored the lessons of over 5,000 years of recorded human history. and it has cost us dearly.
Yeah. Not to be too vulgar about it, but greedy, selfish bastards always want more. And they're not content to just play within the game. They always want to bend the game to their favor. They want to abuse the rules of the game. And they're not willing to stand back and say, okay, cool, let's go. So instead, they create militaries and they engage in subterfuge and they defraud and they use force and they use threats of force. And they, you know, they do basically what China and Russia have been doing ever since. And, of course, Iran and Afghanistan and, you know, North Korea, Cuba, Venezuela. You know, there's a lot of bad actors on the stage. And the point is that it doesn't ever end. You never get to that wonderful, brilliant, beautiful place where it's just peace, calm, and happiness, even though we've been the beneficiary of, you know, what, 35 years of relative peace. But no, it was a mistake to think that suddenly human nature would change.
In this delusion, we embraced a dogmatic vision of free and unfettered trade, even as some nations protected their economies and subsidized their companies to systematically undercut ours, shuttering our plants, resulting in large parts of our societies being deindustrialized, shipping millions of working and middle-class jobs overseas, and handing control of our critical supply chains to both adversaries and rivals.
Now, that was our fault, okay? I mean, it was their fault, but it was our fault, too. You know, we thought in a world of cooperation and working together, if we offshore to them, that helps them industrialize, and in the long run, everybody's better off. Oh, crap, they make all the stuff that we need, you know? And so then we find out that they have done this in a very prudent way. If you're willing to do whatever you want, we have done it in a very foolish way if you're trying to get along and be good guys. The getting along and being good guys approach, set us up for problems.
We increasingly outsourced our sovereignty to international institutions while many nations invested in massive welfare states at the cost of maintaining the ability to defend themselves. This, even as other countries have invested in the most rapid military buildup in all of human history, and have not hesitated to use hard power to pursue their own interests.
Yeah, I mean, the Russians and the Chinese. Chinese not as much, although they've been, you know, expanding territorially with the South China Sea Islands and all of that. You know, more the hard power has been in the hands of the Russians. But still, we've been focusing on welfare and allowing free trade to eat us up. And then other problems that we have allowed to distract us.
To appease a climate cult, we have imposed energy policies on ourselves that are impoverishing our people, even as our competitors exploit oil and coal and natural gas and anything else, not just to power their economies, but to use as leverage against our own.
Right. We, again, engaged in this silly pursuit of staving off this climate thing, that a long conversation about that, but in the process, as has been said from the start, from those who did not buy into the Al Gore hysteria, way back to the scissor lift speech and the movie and Inconvenient Truth and all the other nonsense since, even if it were true, everybody has to play. China and Russia haven't played. You know, like, they've been continuing to develop their resources and then use those resources as leverage. Being a good guy works when everybody's trying to be a good guy. Being a good guy doesn't work when everybody else is willing to take advantage and, you know, our adversaries have been.
Under President Trump, the United States of America will once again take on the task of renewal and restoration, driven by a vision of a future as proud, as sovereign, and as vital as our civilization's past. And while we are prepared, if necessary, to do this alone, it is our preference and it is our hope to do this together with you, our friends here in Europe. For the United States and Europe, we belong together.
See, that's where the speech really started to get interesting to me. The rest of it is history and we know it, or, I mean, you should know it. If you don't know it, it's fine. You know, sometimes you just don't know things. But the future part, because, you know, Trump's way of dealing with NATO, dealing with Europe, dealing with global affairs is, you know, difficult to describe, difficult to predict, sometimes unclear exactly. Is there a coherent strategy? If there is one, what is it? Other than, you know, just winning, but winning doesn't necessarily, it's not really a strategy. You know, winning is a goal. How do you get there? Well, what Marco Rubio is saying here is, look, we are willing to do this on our own. We don't prefer to rebuild the world order on our own. We want you to work with us. We are at heart Europeans. And he's very correct in this. And the fact that he goes over there to Munich to say it, it's almost, there's almost a little bit of, you know, dad spanked you and mom's hugging you kind of in this. Because, you know, the perception by a lot of people is that, you know, Trump is, you know, only American. Everybody else can suck it. And especially Europe, and they're terrible. And Marco Rubio is over there saying, no, guys, it's okay. It's okay. He doesn't really mean it. We're all in this together. And, you know, like the Greenland stuff, right, putting us at odds with, good Lord, Denmark. You know, like, it's kind of a weird situation. And so he's there rebuilding the picture of a future in which America and Europe aren't just sort of mildly coexisting, but really thriving and prospering together.
America was founded 250 years ago, but the roots began here on this continent long before. The men who settled and built the nation of my birth arrived on our shores carrying the memories and the traditions and the Christian faith of their ancestors as a sacred inheritance, an unbreakable link between the old world and the new.
Yeah, we exist because we, you know, staged a revolution and broke away from you. But even in that, we were largely dependent on other parts of you. You know, had it not been for the French hating the British, you know, what would we be today? Well, you know, a colony. You know, so, you know, we understand. But also, where do all of our roots come from? As much as we do strive to be a multicultural nation, our core is certainly Western European Christian history. That's our core. That's what we have built on. That's where all of our laws come from. That's where our strongest culture comes from. There's been a long historic fight over, you know, preserving that. To what degree do we preserve that? How do we tolerate things that are not that? But that is who America is. And even though we don't often think about it quite that way, we tend to think of us as being this superior thing that's thrived and proved for 250 years that we can do it on our own. We are, you know, we're the child of Europe. And I love that he's explaining this and affirming this.
We are part of one civilization, Western civilization. We are bound to one another by the deepest bonds that nations could share, forged by centuries of shared history, Christian faith, culture, heritage, language, ancestry, and the sacrifices our forefathers made together for the common civilization to which we have fallen heir.
And nothing proved our unity as a Western Christian culture with Europe than World Wars I and II, particularly World War II. And the follow-on to that with the fight against global communism. And now the fight against global terrorism. And the fight again against global communism now, right? That's, but he's, you know, somebody's, well, Andrew, I don't know that we're, you know, Western Christian nation. Really? What are we? Are we Buddhist? Are we Muslim? Are we communist? You know, what's your alternative if you deny that as our identity? Well, we're a melting pot. Yeah. What's the pot made out of, though? You know, what's the basic meat in the stew? Well, the basic meat in the stew is Western Christianity, just like Europe. And having lost some of that identity and compromised on some of that, if you pick any other global strain of politics or culture or religion, none of them describe us. We allow them, but they're not the core of what we are. And that's what he's saying, is we care deeply about you because, you know, we are you.
And so this is why we Americans may sometimes come off as a little direct and urgent in our counsel. This is why President Trump demands seriousness and reciprocity from our friends here in Europe. The reason why, my friends, is because we care deeply. We care deeply about your future and ours. And if at times we disagree, our disagreements come from our profound sense of concern about a Europe with which we are connected, not just economically, not just militarily. We are connected spiritually, and we are connected culturally.
Absolutely. Now, he's going to go on. We're only about a third of the way through the speech, but I wanted you to hear this because, first of all, it's important to understand who you are, and I think a lot of times we lose sight of who we are. It's also important for Rubio to be saying this to Europe. This is an incredible bridge-building outreach to try to reaffirm the idea that we share a past, we share a present, and we share a future, And again, as he said at the beginning, you know, we'll go it alone if we have to, but we really don't want to have to go it alone. We would much rather work it out with you because we are you. Even though we're not you, we're separated by an ocean, we're separated by history and a revolution, but we really are you. And that was shown in our unity over the years in World War II and since. So we'll come back to this a little bit later on in the show, but I thought it was important for you to hear it. Oh, yeah, the USA won hockey gold, of course. Against the, what somebody said, USA beat socialism again because we beat the communists 46 years ago and Canada is socialism light, you know. So, I mean, they're still European. They're still much more like us than they are like Russia. But it was, I thought it was kind of funny. And all it cost us was two teeth. 525 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, do you not, John, you didn't watch any Olympics over the weekend?
No.
Jack Hughes, who scored the winning goal in overtime, lost two teeth in a high-sticking incident earlier in the game. He's got just, you know, two teeth completely missing from his mouth as he's doing the post-game interview talking about how great America is. It's awesome.
That sacrifice pretty, right there.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of hockey, not a lot of hockey players with all of their teeth in. 525 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line.
But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength, hand vaporized sore throat pain.
VapoCool. Whoa! These VapoCool drops hit fast!
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporize sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed.
VapoCool.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Good morning, 527 on News Radio 92.3. Cold today, in case you weren't expecting it. 38 or ish. Man. Oh, I thought 50 yesterday was rough. 45, something like that. Oh, yeah. All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Good morning, Andrew. So tens of millions across the Northeast facing a lot of cold today is the big winter storm targeting that region. So good luck to them. I'm glad to be in Florida. The Transportation Security Administration keeping pre-check airport passenger screenings in place for now. That decision coming after an earlier announcement that the faster security screening service would be paused due to the partial government shutdown. No reason was given for that reversal. And the State Department saying U.S. citizens in Mexico should shelter in place due to security operations, road blockages, and criminal activity. This all comes after Mexican security forces killed a cartel leader known as El Mencho in a military operation. And now there's been widespread fighting among the various drug cartels in Mexico.
Yeah, I love discovering that the biggest player in Mexican narco trafficking is a guy I never heard of, but big enough to when we kill him or when somebody kills him, good for them, by the way, that suddenly the whole country is thrown into chaos and there's violence everywhere and Americans are supposed to hide in place and Cozumel or Cancun or, you know, wherever they happen to be. So, cool. That's cool. All right. David, thank you so much for the update. Of course, if you missed the news on Friday, the big news from the Supreme Court was the striking down of the IEPA-based terrorist for President Trump. And so, of course, what Trump did in response was say, oh, okay, Supreme Court, thank you for your ruling. I was completely wrong. I will readjust everything I'm doing to align myself with law because I believe in the rule of law. And no, he didn't do anything like that. I mean, of course, no, because he doesn't believe in any of that. I mean, you know, President Trump said, screw you, you guys suck. You're terrible at your jobs and you're a bunch of betrayers. And, you know, I'm going to do my tariffs a different way. With no justification in a way that is also illegal. Just, you know. So $200 billion in the balance. We'll see. Then, you know, they float the idea of giving it away to Americans as a tariff payment so that, what, then you can owe it back to the companies after you've paid it to us. And, I mean, whatever. It's not surprising, but it's disappointing.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. It's the city that never sleeps, so this morning, New York City is...
This is quiet. That is how silent it is across New York City. Mayor Mamdani, in addition to issuing that travel ban, went into effect at 9 p.m. yesterday and will expire today at noon.
Fox with us, Haley Meyer in Times Square. Fox meteorologist Adam Klotz.
Still right in the heart of this system, so it's still moving its way up the coast.
Thousands of flights canceled today. The feds are searching for a motive as to why 21-year-old Austin Tucker Martin breached the fence at Mar-a-Lago with a shotgun and gas can. Fox's Madeline Rivera has more in a statement from FBI Director Kash Patel.
The FBI is dedicating all necessary resources in the investigation. We will continue working closely with Secret Service as well as our state and federal partners, and we'll provide updates as we are able.
President Trump was not at his home in Palm Beach. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got clear skies. It is a cold start to the day, 38 degrees right now. And we'll get to our full forecast. Brooke Richardson's got that for us in just a few minutes. Well, the Supreme Court struck down most of President Trump's so-called reciprocal tariffs, ruling them unconstitutional on Friday. That decision potentially could mean refunds for businesses that paid tariffs in recent years. Emily Lay talked with Channel 3. Now, she runs a company in Pensacola that makes planning books. Her products are manufactured in China. She's paid more than $1 million in tariffs since 2018.
They were devastating to our company. They forced us to make impossible decisions, you know, either raise prices and lose customers or absorb costs that we couldn't afford. It was a rough few months.
And Lay sued the Trump administration and says the ruling on Friday will strengthen her case in her lawsuit. A 31-year-old woman and her 8-year-old daughter were killed on Saturday when an Amtrak train struck their vehicle in Mobile. That happened at about 7 a.m. at a railroad crossing on Cary Hamilton Road. Investigators say the crossing signals and arms were working properly at the time. The train traveled over 2,000 feet before it could stop. No passengers in that train were hurt. Well, records show that the former Gulf Breeze Elementary School principal likely would have been terminated if she hadn't resigned. Monica Garcia had reportedly failed to report an alleged inappropriate contact incident between two kindergartners on a school bus in August. State law requires mandatory reporters to immediately notify the Department of Children and Families. Instead, she reportedly conducted her own review and changed the boy's seat on the bus. Garcia said she didn't report that because the incident couldn't be substantiated and she viewed it as typical behavior for 5-year-olds. The superintendent was prepared to recommend her suspension and termination. Garcia resigned in January, citing personal and health reasons. An Escambia Sheriff's Office vehicle was involved in a crash in Cantonment on Friday. Deputies say a car struck the SUV on West Roberts Road just before midnight that night. There were reports of injuries. The Sheriff's Office has not confirmed that. Well, a man was hurt after being shot by a deputy in Orange County. The sheriff's office says the deputy shot a man that was accused of shoplifting from a Walmart. The deputy tased the man and shot him after warning him, "Don't reach." The sheriff's office said that two knives were found at the scene. It's 5:34. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be looking at a cool, breezy day today. Temperatures slowly warming up into the low 50s for your highs. Plenty of sunshine. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 32. For Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 57 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 49 degrees. Going into Wednesday, partly sunny skies, high near 69. And Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 58. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Again, a chilly start to our day. 38 degrees. Our next news at 6. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Novo Nordisk's stock fell over 10% after it said its next-generation weight loss drug did not meet its primary target. The drug, called CagriSema, didn't achieve its primary endpoint of demonstrating non-inferiority on weight loss when compared to Eli Lilly's rival drug, tirzepatide, after 84 weeks. Eli Lilly's stock rose 2.1% upon the news. Some of the biggest U.S. companies say they are passing tariff-related costs onto consumers, with Walmart this week attributing a jump in prices for certain goods sold by the retailer to higher import duties. In a fourth quarter earnings call, Walmart said that inflation for general merchandise rose more than 3%. Treasury yields were little changed to start the week as investors weighed President Trump's latest tariffs after the Supreme Court struck down much of the duties on Friday. The 10-year Treasury yield was down less than one basis point to 4.076%. Futures are slightly lower. That's your money now.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, hear from local community leaders on how Sonny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. With four Sonny's locations serving the News Radio listening area, Navy Boulevard, Pine Forest, 9th Avenue, and Pace. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sonny that Eldon sent you.
The Florida Bright Futures Scholarship isn't just about covering tuition. It can help you pursue your dreams at any Florida State University, community college, or eligible trade school. Whether you want to become a teacher, study engineering, learn a skilled trade, or start your own business, Bright Futures can help you achieve your goals. The best part? It's funded by the Florida Lottery, so when people play, students win. Visit FloridaBrightFutures.gov to learn more about your options, check your eligibility, and start your application. Your bright future starts here.
This message is brought to you by the Florida Lottery and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
You don't always have time to sit and listen.
That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
As we've seen things across the country, in Minnesota, money going towards these non-existent daycares, as our CFO has shined a light on the billions of waste and abuse across the state, especially at the local level, taxpayer dollars not being spent in the best interest of our taxpayers. as the public at home has questions and loses trust in our government officials, the public servants that are supposed to be operating with the trust of the people, fighting and working for the people. We felt the need to develop a unit focused on this specifically.
Well, who better to head that up than James Uthmeyer, the Attorney General of the state of Florida?
At the end of the day, taxpayer dollars are sacred. And here in Florida...
I'm sorry, but where to start? Okay, well, Alex Andrade is our state representative for District 2, and he joins me now. And Alex, I know you are familiar both with the Derek Ham interview that James did yesterday. We played some of that, answering the questions about the $100,000 side gig that James Uthmeyer has from the University of Florida to teach a two-hour week course in the fall and the spring in the law school. Of course, there's the $10 million redirect of money from Medicaid funds given back to the state into the political action campaign that James Uthmeyer was overseeing at the time to fight the propositions last fall. Questions apparently remain about how he travels to and fro in Tallahassee and Jacksonville. Welcome back to the show, Alex. Good to have you.
Good morning, peasants.
Oh, you got me. That's good. I fell over. I did. I fell over when I saw this announcement yesterday. Is that the answer to the teaching massive overpayment and the $10 million side shuffle is, you know what? I'm going to announce the public corruption unit, and we're going to watch over everybody's money across the state and audit everybody, including lawmakers. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. I thought yesterday was gaslighting. So
yeah. Remember, I don't know if you watch Breaking Bad ever, but you remember, like, Jesse Pinkman tells Walter White, you don't need a criminal lawyer. You need a criminal lawyer. And that's all I keep thinking about, like, James Uthmeyer. Like, man, you know exactly where to start to find some misused taxpayer funds, don't you?
Like, your comment to the newspaper the other day was, you know, if this course is about governmental overreach, well, you have an expert in residence teaching about it. So I guess here, you know, he knows where to look to find the stuff. He knows how to find it.
But I'm hopeful. If I didn't believe in the property tax proposal that we passed with the House floor yesterday, Andrew, hearing that James Uthmeyer needed that extra $100,000 to feed his kids was justification that we absolutely needed tax relief here in Florida.
I wasn't sure if I was going to have a chance to play this, but in case you didn't hear it yesterday.
I've been a public servant since I was a young lawyer, and when you have a growing family and three kids, you got to look for other ways to keep the lights on and keep food on the table.
Which, if you only make $160,000 as the attorney general, obviously you need a $100,000 part-time gig teaching law at UF for just to be able to keep the lights and the food going.
Yeah, and my favorite part of yesterday's press conference was he refused to answer whether or not the taxpayers are footing the bill for his commute to Gainesville every week. I'm still not sure if he flies or he drives. He says he drives, but he refused to answer whether or not he has a Attorney General's office staff member and Attorney General's office car drive.
Alex, I don't even hear myself in the. Is he there? Oh, something weird has happened. I cannot hear him now. So. Oh, that's fantastic. Sure. You know what? My little, can you hear me? Okay, all right, good. Let's just switch this with the headphones.
You guys there?
Yeah, I am here now, man. We have a funny little device here that it just decides to malfunction periodically. And that's the nature.
Oh, okay.
So I know I can hear you fine. The audience could hear you fine. Anyway, let's move from James Uthmeyer to actual things that, I mean, I think this matters. This is going to be national news. I would not be surprised if some of this stuff winds up being national news. It's so amazing. The property tax proposal that got passed yesterday, tell me what it does and what it does not do, because I do have some questions.
Oh, yeah. So essentially it incrementally raises the property tax exemption until it fully eliminates the homestead property ad valorem taxes, I think in about a decade. So it's an incremental increase. It prohibits reductions in law enforcement and firefighter funding. Andrew, I heard your questions earlier this morning on the radio.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect MSBUs or MSTUs because it only affects the ad valorem portion of your property taxes.
Got it. Okay, so it would get rid of all the non-school board ad valorem taxes, but it wouldn't affect MSBUs and MSTUs, which, of course, often go to fire or law enforcement or whatever, because they're not ad valorem. Okay, that makes sense. And it's a stair step. It's a gradual. It's not an immediate. It's a 10-year phase in. Is that the one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. Yeah, because I was thinking to myself, I know Alex and Michelle, of course, know that locally, I mean, that'd be the death blow to our two counties if we got rid of MSTU and MSBU. But okay, so I'm glad that that's the nature of it. And what's the Senate doing? As far as I can tell, the Senate has basically slow walked all of this.
Nothing.
And, yeah. Okay, fair. That's what I thought.
And with DeSantis, bro, you've had a year. Where's your plan? He's saying, we don't need to rush this. Well, November's coming. Ron, like, put some pen to paper, put your big boy pants on, and actually draft something. You've had more than a year to propose this. You're the one that brought this up. Do your job. Like, if you wanted this, and now you're griping about the fact that we're the only ones doing it, do your job. The Florida House is the only one that's put forward any type of property tax relief at this point.
Yeah, Alex, what I can't figure out is, If you were creating a bunch of drama around property taxes with the stated goal to say one thing and then do nothing, I can't see how that benefits the governor. I can understand the Senate not being on board, but it's kind of felt like the Senate was on the governor's side against you guys, and yet they're not either producing an alternative. And by the way, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you both agree on a joint resolution to go to the November ballot, it just goes to the ballot. The governor has a say in that, right?
Right. I don't know why the Senate's acting like the department, like an agency of the governor. The Senate needs to act like the Senate. And if they don't want to do it, stop deferring to the governor. They keep saying we're deferring to the governor. And the governor says it's better to get it right than do it fast. Well, dude, you've had a year. It is 2026. 2026 is when this will be on the ballot. If you actually wanted this, put on your big boy pants and put something out there. It's like, is he afraid of criticism? Or was this all a sham?
Well, I try to walk that through. Like, if it was all just smoke, what would be the purpose of that?
So, you know how I've said before that I think the government largely is far more like Veep than House of Cards?
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
I think DeSantis and the children in his office thought this is going to be brilliant. We're going to eliminate property taxes in Florida. And they forgot that we're constitutionally obligated to fund public schools. And it's not as sexy and exciting to the base if you eliminate everything but the school ad valorem, right?
Right.
And so when they finally realized, oh, no, we're constitutionally obligated to fund public schools and we don't have the money to backfill the FEFP if we eliminate school property taxes, well, then, shoot, this is no longer exciting, but we've already put ourselves out there. I think the children in the governor's office forgot that we're constitutionally obligated to fund public schools.
That just seems so – how could anybody forget that? That's such a glaring mistake. That's why I'm kind of
– We're not sending our best, Andrew.
Okay. All right. Because, yeah, if the rationale is the one that I have repeatedly said and what the governor has said is, why do you have to continually rent your land from the government? Well, that applies to the school slice just as much as to the county or the city slice or anything else. But yet once you realize
– Totally agree.
Oh, goodness. You know, I mean, if that's the rationale, then you got to get rid of all of them. And then if you discover you can't get rid of some of them, then you've got to, what have we done? So, I mean, I don't have a better theory. I hate to believe there's so little competence that is the real story, but I don't have a better theory, so I can't explain it either. Budget, you guys passed a budget, right?
Yes, we passed the budget off the House floor. We got it ready for our conference with the Senate. Not sure when we're going to go into conference, but whenever that happens, the House's budget is set at $113 billion. The healthcare budget's at $49.3 billion. We've incorporated some cuts in there. Obviously, the stuff we talked about last week related to infant mortality. So it's a very exciting budget. One thing that we did debate yesterday was the governor's authority on his kind of emergency management fund. There's been some controversy in Tallahassee over alligator Alcatraz and the fact that the U.S. Department of Justice is holding up and refusing to let the state be reimbursed the $500 million the governor spent without legislative approval out of that fund. And so there's been a big debate about whether or not, you know, the governor should be allowed to do such aggressive spending, engage in such aggressive spending without legislative approval in declared states of disaster that haven't been declared federally and aren't like natural disasters. So that'll be something we'll be debating and discussing over the next few weeks, and hopefully we'll have a, you know, some type of fix going forward. I mean, Andrew, the governor committed $96 million for porta potties without any legislative approval for alligator Alcatraz. Porta potties.
Well, maybe
$96 million.
Maybe the newly announced public corruption unit will bring some light to all the various financial weirdnesses that have been going on in the state. And I mean, a boy can hope. Maybe this will all work out. What about local projects this year? What are some of the things? Because this is what people always also want to know about, is what money is coming back here locally to do things?
Well, on the House side, I can't speak to the Senate side, but on the House side right now, some of the things I have funded are things like money to help with South Navy Boulevard. You know, there was that announcement that Jimmy Patronis got some funds, so I put some money in the budget for to help augment that, to really get that project going.
This is the beautification and the slight redesign with the turnaround and all that kind of stuff and the signboard and all that. Okay, got it.
We got some money. The city asked for bollards, you know, to because it wasn't budgeted in their improvement to Palafox Street. So I got some money for the bollards in the House budget.
Oh, nice.
Got some money for the parking study. So a study to figure out what parking needs are downtown. Got some money for things like the Blue Angels Foundation, for things with
I understand.
Veteran support services here downtown with groups like Homebase, who are doing a ton of great work for veterans, especially ones who've suffered severe brain trauma. Things for the Andrews Institute, Babs Hospital. Man, I wish I should have pulled up the list before we did this interview, Andrew, because I've worked several million dollars in the budget. But again, until we get to conference with the Senate, we'll see what ends up coming out. But yeah, right now, hopefully, you know, this money to help with South Navy Boulevard, Carpenters Creek, things like that will stay in the budget and not get vetoed.
Hey, one last quick thing, only because it's relevant to the situation and you, but I think it's also a philosophically important to observe, point to observe. Going back to the $100,000 side gig for James Uthmeyer, Jeremy Redfern, who is his, what, deputy communications guy or something for the AG's office, lit you up on X, attacking you over and over again for your law firm's representation of Planned Parenthood, which you, of course, have nothing to do with, for you getting fired from the city of Milton. And to me, what I think is, when somebody engages in ad hominem attacks against the person, instead of responding to the issue, especially the louder they get, the more true you know the criticism is. Do you feel that way? Like, the more you yell and scream about these things that have nothing to do with this issue, the more you're proving me right. It's a compliment of sorts.
Yeah. I mean, anytime somebody raises the ad hominem stuff instead of addressing the question, especially given the fact that, you know, James refused to answer the question at a press conference yesterday, it tells me I'm right, you know? I've developed some significant calluses over 8 years, Andrew. It's been a pretty rough and tumble 8 years in House District 2. And, it's like water off a duck's back. And, Jeremy gets paid $164,000, essentially just to troll on Twitter. So if we found some fraud, waste, and abuse, you know, fines in the state to look at ourselves, his job probably wouldn't be considered that valuable.
That would be one of the things that might go. Alex Andrade is our state representative for District 2. Alex, as always, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, sir.
Thanks, Andrew.
Absolutely. 5:53 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. By the way, on the Uthmeyer stuff, in the press conference where he announced the public corruption unit, amazing, because, you know, tax dollars are sacred. Put my computer on, John.
So I think this public integrity unit is going to be a great thing for our law enforcement, our state, for the public at home. Floridians should rest assured that when it comes to their taxpayers, we are going to treat those as sacred, and anybody that's going to misspend, misappropriate, or take advantage of our public citizens is going to have to deal with us.
Anybody who's going to move $10 million around, you know, in what is, I allege, and you know, also Alex alleges is illegal. We're still waiting for the grand jury to decide about that. Anybody who's going to take a $100,000 side gig for 2 hours a week of teaching, I mean, you know, whatever. You know, money's sacred. Okay. All right, sure. He also did, in that press conference, it was funny at the end. I don't think I have time to play the clips right now, but at the end, this is just a good example. He was asked about commuting to Gainesville from Tallahassee.
How often do you commute to UF for your job, and have you ever used a state plane to get there?
How often do you commute, and do you ever use a state plane to get there, right? Because the private is just a side hustle.
It's funny, it's the left-wing fake news that seems to be the only people concerned with me working at night as a teacher. Like a lot of Americans at home, I work day and night. I work 80-plus hours for the state fighting crime. We got record results. And I also do teach.
And I cannot pay the bills and keep the lights on and feed my kids and put food on the table at 80 hours a week. So instead, I drive to Gainesville once a week.
But you've never used a state plane to get to that job, right?
I drive to UF for class. Thank you very much. Anybody else?
I drive. Thank you very much. Well, what car do you drive? I mean, that's also true.
Voters who may say your salary is solely at the University of Florida.
Voters who say your salary is too high.
Florida is a little higher than other adjunct professors. What would you say back to that?
I think it's important to know, you know, I'm not just some guest lecturer. I am part of the faculty. I do teach a couple classes. Some professors, I think, teach more. Some teach less. I think I make well below the average salary for a law professor.
Who teaches less than one class a semester that's 2 hours long? You mean we have professors teaching zero? You mean people are on sabbatical? I mean, what is less than one two-hour class a semester?
Like I said, I'm committed. I want to see UF go up in the rankings. I think it's an outstanding school with outstanding students, and hopefully I'll be able to, you know, convince a couple of the bright ones, you know, to come into the AG's office or work for our great U.S. attorney or prosecutors and give back to the state.
Yeah, come work for me where you'll have to moonlight on the side because you won't be able to feed your kids and keep the lights on if you do that.
Drive there, are you able to say if it's state funded or personally funded?
Follow-up, you know, do you say you drive there, is it a state vehicle or is it your vehicle?
It seems like this is what the left news media wants to talk about. I'm focused on fighting crime and public corruption. All right, thanks everybody.
I'm Batman. I'm focused on fighting crime and public corruption. How dare you liberal media ask me these questions? Again, the more you lash out about it being liberal media when I think it's just a reasonable question of how much are you getting paid to do this very small job, and how do you get there? And okay, I've always said, and it's a good lesson from logic, the more people lash out and attack the person asking, the more you know that there's probably fire where there's that smoke.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip during the Subaru A Lot to Love event with a new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther, and combined with Subaru's capable standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected terrain with ease. Paved roads, gravel roads, just about any road. They're no match for the new Subaru hybrids. Get your Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid or the Subaru Forester Hybrid during the Subaru A Lot to Love event. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Driving ranges based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy and a full tank of fuel. Actual mileage and range may vary.
What if I told you there's money hidden in your home? Not under the mattress, not in the couch cushions, but real money waiting to be put to good use. With a home equity line from PennAir Credit Union, you can tap into your home's value for renovations, big projects, or whatever's next. No annual fees, no closing costs, just smart, flexible funding backed by a local team. Your home's got extra cash. Put it to work. Learn more at PennAir.org/home equity. Equal housing lender.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Yes, 5:59 here on News Radio 92.3. Coming up next, we'll continue talking about this Marco Rubio speech. Really, really interesting speech that he gave in Munich back on Valentine's Day. Obviously, USA Hockey's big story for today. And the tariffs, you know, continuing to figure out all of the outfall of that. Man, just a lot of stuff going on in the world. And we'll be talking about it coming up next. Stick around. I'm Andrew McKay.